Thank you all for being here. I would first just like to take a second to recognize the other authors. I'm really excited to be a part of this wonderful research that's going on, and you'll get to hear in a second from actually the person who was kind of the spearhead that collected the data that I'm looking at secondarily. So what I would like to talk to you about today is kind of these perceptions of sexual partners and then the associated sexual risk reduction behaviors. And I'm looking at a national sample of men who have sex with men. I have no disclosures to give. So the purpose of my study was to really document on an event level interpersonal relationship factors that were associated with condom use. And I'm looking at the most recent penile anal intercourse. And again, this is a sample of men who have sex with men. So, of course, as we all know, HIV continues to be a very relevant problem in this population. So the CDC recently released that 61% of the new HIV cases were within this population, and we still have about 56% of persons living with HIV are men who have sex with men. So this continues to be a very relevant issue when we're talking about men who have sex with men. And looking at condom use continues to be kind of the most effective tool that we have in terms of STI prevention and especially HIV prevention. But one thing that I think that's really important when we talk about HIV, especially within this population, is looking at some of those interpersonal factors. So by default of having sex with men, you have this increased rate of exposure because of the disproportionate large number of men who have sex with men who are living with HIV. The unprotective receptive anal sex is still the sexual behavior that has a really high HIV infection rate. And of course, we have the issues of stigma and shame that affect how partners are interacting with each other within this community and how they're affected with their health behaviors. So what I was looking at was these interpersonal relationship factors. So I looked at several variables, including knowing if your partner has multiple concurrent partners, and this was in kind of the 6-month time period before your most recent sex, knowing your partner's STI status, knowing your own STI status, and this variable about loving your partner or thinking that your partner loves you. And the reason I wanted to look at these variables is I feel like this is how we frame risk reduction messages within the public health community. So when we talk about risk, we talk about how many partners you are having, how many partners your partners are having. We talk about knowing your status, knowing your partner's status. These are really the messages that we're framing around STIs and HIV within the public health community. And relationship status is something that's been looked at with condom use and is shown to be a really important factor. But I really wanted to focus in on this aspect of love. I don't think it's very often that we hear the word love and MSM in the same sentence. So I really kind of wanted to draw out even just engaging a conversation around love and how love is affecting a dynamic between two men who are having sex with each other. So this is an online survey that was conducted nationally. Email recruitment messages were sent out to registered users of internet sites, and they were sites for men who were seeking social or sexual interactions with other men. And I think this is an important thing to frame the sample that we're looking at within this kind of population who are online seeking social or sexual interactions. And I have a sample size of about 16,667, which is a subsample from the total number of respondents who completed this online survey. So the sample that I'm looking at, this subsample, is men who have sex with men, and this is at their last event that they reported. They're all currently sexually active within the past year. And they're all HIV negative as told by a healthcare provider. About 83% of the sample does identify as gay or homosexual, but not all of the sample. You can see that 85% of the sample is white, which is, again, framing kind of who I'm talking about in this discussion. I think that's important to point out. And most of the sample was ranging between 30 to 49 years of age, and you can see we have a wide range of age groups that are involved in this sample, everybody above the age of 18. Another thing I think that's important when we're talking about these interpersonal factors is to look at the relationship status. So the majority of the sample was not dating anyone, and I think that goes back to the online recruiting men who are seeking social and sexual interactions. We also have a large 20% of the population who is in a relationship for more than 5 years and with the same person. So again, these are kind of the two main groups that I'm talking about in terms of these interpersonal factors today. So before we move on, I want to take a second and actually step back and think about risk reduction outside of just condoms. So we always talk about condom use and we always talk about anal sex, right? But really, when you look at the behaviors at these last sexual acts, the men are engaging in a wide range of behaviors, and this is something that's come out of this data set and some previous reports. But I think it's really important, again, to highlight this wide and diverse nature of behaviors and really kind of breaking down the way we talk about gay sex as something that is enacted differently in some form. And I think this is a great area for future research in terms of, I don't know from the data that we have, but how are people choosing what behaviors that they're engaging in terms of how they're assessing their risk? So you can see that most of the people in the sample are cuddling, kissing, engaging in oral sex, and these are all possible ways that people are choosing to reduce their risk, and something I think that would be a great place for further investigation. And as you can see, the population I'm getting ready to talk about in terms of anal sex is actually a smaller subsample of the study. So first of all, I'd like to just give you a couple descriptive statistics. So what do people know about their partners? What do people know when they're assessing who their partner is that they're having sex with? As you can see, that most people actually know about whether their partner is having concurrent partners. So 53% of the population said that they know that their partner was having sex with other people in the previous 6 months. And 16% said that they know that they were not having sex. So the majority of people are having this. This is all self-reported, so I think something to think about is how do they know this? Why are they saying that they know this? Which would be really interesting. I'd love to hear more about the conversations that are kind of going on behind these descriptive statistics. They also report a high knowledge of knowing their partner's STD status. So most people reported knowing that their partner did not have an STD. There was some few people that reported knowing that their partner do have an STD, and a little bit higher percentage of people who aren't talking about or discussing who have no knowledge about their partner status, which I think is something that's important to highlight. And you can see that most people know about their own STI status, which I think is a really great public health kind of result in a time where this population has been really targeted to know their status. And so you see that the most of the people said that they did not have an STI, and there was a smaller percent who said that they did not or didn't know. So then moving on, I want to kind of look at those factors and look at how they're related to using a condom at most recent anal sex. And condom use was actually defined as using a condom at some point versus not using a condom at any time, is how we defined it within this. So condom use at most recent anal sex related to your partner knowledge. Knowing a partner's sexual history was significantly associated with condom use. Knowing a partner's STI status was significantly associated with condom use. But knowing your own STI status was not significantly associated with condom use. And I want to break this down a little bit more for you. So when you look here at condom use by STI knowledge, you can see on the far left the I know he did not have an STD. There are more people who are reporting that they did not use a condom. So the people who did not use a condom, you can see there's a big difference whether or not they knew that they did not have an STD. Versus if you look at I don't know if he had an STD, you can see that light blue is actually more people who reported using a condom were reporting that they didn't know that their partner's STD status. So I think this is, again, an important way that we're thinking about framing risk within the public health community. So these people are saying that not knowing their status was really kind of increasing their chances of using a condom with their partner. When you look at the sexual history, again, saying that I know that this person had sex with other people during those 6 months, of the people who reported using a condom, there are more people who are using a condom than not using a condom when that they know that their partner is having sex with other people. If you look kind of to the flip side of that, I don't know whether this person had sex with other people during those 6 months, you see that more people are using a condom. So what this kind of reflects, I think, is showing that people are taking up these public health messages that we're giving about what is risk behavior and using a condom in a way that would kind of predict based upon the way we frame these messages. So not knowing if a person is having sex with other people means that you're using a condom. And again, I wanted to look at these affective dynamics, so looking at this concept of love and how it's affecting the condom use. And if the participant reported that they loved their partner at last sex, this was significantly associated with condom use. And if the participant reported that they thought that their partner loved them at last sex, this was also significantly associated with condom use. And when I break it down, you can see this is where we really see large differences. This is where the bar graph really gets these big jumps between the condom use between the groups. I think representing that this really does still stand out as a really important factor that we need to look more into when we're talking about encouraging people to use condoms. The love is really something that's kind of trumping a lot of these variables. So if you look at reporting that you loved your partner, you can see that a larger percent did not use a condom and then compared to those who did. And on the flip side, if you did not love your partner, you have a lot of that tall blue, meaning that they used a condom. So this is actually a variable that came out pretty clear in its importance in condom use. So just to kind of sum up, what was associated with condom use was this affective partnership dynamics, the love, knowing your partner's sexual history, knowing your partner's STI status, and what's really just not coming up as a difference between using condoms and not is knowing your own STI status. So I think this is a really important highlight of how condom use involves multiple factors. It's not just one thing that determines condom use. And I think the interpersonal factors are really important in understanding the condom dynamics, especially within these MSM communities. And one thing I think this study really highlights and talks about is how we're framing these messages within a public health community, and then how people are taking up these messages in their own interpersonal life, which is something that we should all think about and reflect on for this study, future studies, and our interactions with these issues around HIV. So I would like to thank my study partners, the Center for Sexual Health Promotion and OLB Research Institute, for their help with this project and for the collection of the data. I'm happy to take any questions or comments. Thank you for your time. Yeah. Right, so I, for this analysis, actually dropped out anybody who reported that they were HIV positive, and because I felt that that was a different conversation than the conversation that I was having with this group of sample that is all HIV negative. And I think that that's something, I know there's a lot of qualitative data, it's hard to run through qualitative data with 16,000 people, but that's definitely something that just looking at the broad qualitative data that's come out and people talking about reflected to their condom use.
Everyone is negative.
Yes.
The second thing was, can you talk about why you find condom use the way that you did? In terms of any.
Right. Well, it's a secondary data set, so I technically didn't define anything in the data set. And I'm sure Josh can speak a little bit more to that. One of the things that I'm looking at in the future, we actually have a really great variable that I love about condom use that looks at starting to use a condom and stopping to use a condom, using a condom the entire time, and really kind of breaks down the nuances of condom use. And so I'm running some ordinal logistic regressions looking at that kind of more nuanced version of what is condom use looking like within this population.
Yeah, I think that's a really intriguing direction.
Yeah. Right, definitely. Right, which would be wonderful if I could match knowing your partner's STI status to the true STI status. I think would also be a really interesting kind of epidemiology look at this outcome.
And the condom use wasn't, in the survey interest, it's actually not a single dichotomized item. We got to that on the back end. So it's a series of 15 or 16 different items. But how was the condom use? Was it used the entire
Thank you. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I really like that you asked for my love.
Thank you.
What I was curious about is did you just do by there analysis, or did you also probably loving your partner and having the feeling that you are loved by your partner?
Right, and I haven't looked at that to see which people reported both, but I would imagine, and those were separate analysis. I ran on the variables separately and then collapsed them just for the graph to present it, but I'm sure that, right, that's something that is to look at who reported which in the other one. Yeah, they're very similar. Right, yeah, I think that's probably a good assumption, and it would be interesting to break out the subpopulation that it's not the truth for.
Okay.